Jesus comes up, because again, we're going to talk about Bartimaeus today, you know, and all of our messages should be surrounding Christ and God and what he's done and his word. But we have a central figure today, and his name is Bartimaeus, okay? And Bartimaeus is a blind guy, okay? And so he fits in the category of the outcasts, you know? And according to the Jews, he's blind because why? Of sin. Either he sinned, or his parents sinned, or somebody sinned, and that's the cause of his blindness. Now, what we don't know about Bartimaeus, and we'll talk about a little bit as we go, is whether he was born blind or whether he was blinded after the fact. Now, I opt for the latter in that he was probably became blind in life at some point through some accident, misfortune, whatever, because we're not told here, like we are in John chapter 9, I believe it is, where the other man is healed of his blindness, and we're told specifically there that this was never done so before, that someone who was born blind would be healed. Does that make sense? And so, in other words, they had heard the fact that somebody could be healed of their blindness, but somebody who was born blind, that's a different story. So Bartimaeus is, in my mind, a good picture for me of someone who has suffered great misfortune. And because of that, society has what? They're stubbing their nose at him, okay? And he's dealing with it, because as we're going to look, the first thing we're going to see is we're going to see Bartimaeus' situation. Not only was he blind, verse 46, we're told that he's blind, okay? But as a result of that, he's also what? But specifically, what is he doing? He's begging, okay? He's not only blind, but he's a beggar. He's a beggar. And I would submit to you that he's a beggar because he was blind. It's not like our society today where we see someone with a physical handicap and we say, well, as a nation, we want to have funds put aside and we want to be able to minister to them. One of the, you know, not one of, numerous of the things that we're doing at the property is for ministering to those who are handicapped. All of our bathrooms, the lower bathrooms, are all ADA. Okay, and that stands for the American Disability Act, okay? And so they all have to be a certain size. You have to be able to get a wheelchair in there. They've got to be lower, so the sinks are lower than you're used to them. You know, I joked about getting on my knees to be able to use the sinks in there because it's, you know, the right height for somebody with a wheelchair, you know? When you go into the fountain room, which is outside in off of the youth room by the bathroom there's two fountains. One's low, one's high. You know, we do things today to minister to those with disabilities. Not so in Jesus' day. And so Bartimaeus, and I believe then through some misfortune, okay, becomes blind. Because he becomes blind, he can't what? He can't work. He can't do what he normally would have done. I don't know, and this is reading between the lines, and I don't know if you ever think about these things. Did he have a family? I mean, not just a wife and kids. He could have. What happened to them when he lost his blindness? Did he have an extended family? Why aren't they helping him? Have they cast him off? So there's a lot that goes in behind the scenes for me when I look at Bartimaeus. He's not just a guy. Have you ever, this is kind of an offside, but you know, again, this is why we think of beggars sometimes. Did you hear about the guy in England, this is for real, who actually is dropped off at his begging spot in his limousine with his chauffeur? And then he goes to work that day. And his work is being a beggar. And he does so well at it that he actually has a, you know, card with a chauffeur, and that pays for him. Isn't that incredible? And there's other stories like that of people out there that they beg. You know, if you do well at it, you can make some pretty good money at it. I promise you there are people who call the church, and we haven't gotten any late, but I go through cycles where all of a sudden there are people who come into the area, and they play off the churches. I just get bus fare. You know, my grandma passed away, and I fell on hard times, and I just need $75 for the bus fare to Ohio or Tennessee or whatever. And it used to be, that's why when you come and you try to call a church anymore, you get what? You get answer machines. Okay, it used to be before the answer machines, you got the secretary. And it wasn't just a sweet little woman. She was you were not going to get through her. You know, why? Because there were people who played off of churches to get money. You'd be surprised, okay? And so, the same kind of concept. Well, this isn't happening during Jesus' day. It was kind of hard to make a living at that time because people didn't have mercy necessarily upon them. They saw them as lesser beings. Okay? They were half a people, if you would, kind of concept. And so Bartimaeus' situation, that's where he's at. Well, the second thing I see in this is his determination. He's sitting there, and he's just begging, but he recognizes, I mean, you know, how many of you, I mean, I got to just put a name out because this is who I associate with, Ron Worley. Some of you guys know Ron Worley, okay? Ron was phenomenal. I think it was around 5 years old when he lost his eyesight, lost it in both eyes. And Ron, the rest of his senses just became so highlighted. When I would go to visit him, he worked at the VA uptown, and his job was helping rehabilitate blind people, helping them to learn to live in society and be able to adjust. And I would walk into his office, and he would say, "Hey, Pastor Bob, what's happening?" He can't see me. No, not that one. He heard my feet. He knew my gait. He knew the stroll of my feet, and he knew the softness of my shoes. And so when I walked down the hallway into his office, he knew who I was. "Hey, Pastor Bob, what's happening?" Now, it helped that he knew that I was coming that day, okay? But one day, I slid up beside him at the church I was pastoring, didn't say a word, and it was on carpet, so he couldn't hear me. And I walked up real quietly, and I stuck my arm around him. And it was a moment. He turned to me and says, "What you need, Pastor Bob?" And I said, "Ah, that ain't fair. How did you know?" He says, "I smelt you." Don't laugh. Anyways. Anyways. But probably smelled my deodorant. I mean, honestly. But everything was so accentuated. Now, he probably also knew who else in that church would have slid quietly beside him just to find out whether he knew who it was. Anyways, and so he took a calculated guess. But it was amazing. He would tell me about how fire disturbed sound. You know, we'd be at a bonfire for the youth, and we'd be standing on one side, and people would be standing on the other side talking, and he'd tell me how the sound was being distorted. All your other senses are just accentuated. He would click his fingers, and it would act like a sonar going off of things so he could tell how close he was, because he'd hear the echo back. Yeah, it's kind of rough. He's starting to lose some of his hearing now, which is really kind of really bad for him, okay? But it was amazing. Guy was amazing. He'd walk out into a parking lot. You'd never know he was blind. He'd go straight to the car without a stick, without his, you know how the blind guy's supposed to have that stick wanting other. Phil? Yeah, he went to the church 2 weeks before they realized he was blind. I mean, he'd go out to the car, get what he needed, and he'd come back in. No stick, no nothing. He was just tapping cars along the way because he knew how many cars they were from the, it would be pretty bad if somebody decided to park in the wrong spot, you know? It'd be in the wrong car. Anyways, but he knew, you know, by the feel of the car, by everything else, where he was. Well, you don't do this. We believe in exposition and exegesis, which means we take out, but I'm going to eisegesis here, and I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I'm reading into the passage now, okay? That Bartimaeus probably had what? Some of those abilities, right? And so he's sitting there, and you know he hears the crowd, and he hears the crowd probably better than the crowd does. And all those voices are there, and that's all he has to focus on, because he's trying to find someone who will what? Give him some alms, okay? And so all of a sudden he hears, probably a ways off, this crowd, this tumult starting, you know? Jesus is coming into town. In fact, we're told that he was already in Jericho, and he's coming from Jericho, probably heading toward Jerusalem. Remember, we've talked that he's on the path. And so the path that you would go from Galilee to Jerusalem was not a direct route because they had to go up and down mountains. What they would do is they would go down to the Jezreel Valley, Megiddo, the Valley of Megiddo, okay, Valley of Jezreel, and they would go west over to the Jordan River Valley, okay, and they would walk along the Jordan River because that was smooth, and they'd go all the way down to Jericho. And from Jericho, they would go up the mountain to Jerusalem. That's why they always talk about going up to Jerusalem. Even when they're going down to Jerusalem, they're going up to Jerusalem because for them, Jerusalem was the highest part. So every time you go to Jerusalem, you were going up, okay? So he was going up to Jerusalem from Jericho. So he passes along the Jordan River area into Jericho, okay? It was rebuilt from the days of Joshua. and he passes through, and he's coming out, and that's what we're told here. And so I could just picture Bartimaeus, whose name, I should introduce, it says in here, it means son of Timaeus. The word bar is the Hebrew word meaning son. So he's the son of Timaeus. So Bartimaeus is the son of Timaeus. We're never told his rightful name, which is kind of an interesting thing as well because of, again, how they saw these people. And so, like, Peter was really Simon Barjona. Okay? So we know of his father, you know, and we know his name. But Bartimaeus, we don't know his surname. We don't know what his former name. We don't know what he's called by. And so he hears the tumult, right? And so he begins to cry out, his cry, his pleading for Jesus. And he cries out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." The plea is a phenomenal plea for mercy, but when he cries out to Jesus, what does he refer to Jesus as? Messiah. Yeah, son of David. He's given a recognition. Isn't this an amazing thing about it? He's just a blind guy. Now, read in a little bit, okay, again, about blind guys sitting at the city gates. What do you, if there's anybody who has the skinny on what's going on in the country, it'd be a blind guy at a city gate. Because he hears everything. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so he's probably heard of this Jesus. You know, he's listened to all the tumult, people passing through, and they're probably talking different times. People have been talking about this. Have you heard about this guy, Jesus, up in Galilee, and da-da-da? Well, anyways, he hears the tumult, and they're, you know, it's all coming out, and he realizes what? He's here. Now, there's no way that a blind guy in Jericho is going to try to get all the way up into Galilee, in Decapolis, without help to try to find him. Jesus is continually moving from place to place, and so he can't do that. But Jesus has what? He's come to him. He's come to him. And he realizes it. And he cries out to Jesus, and he cries out for mercy. "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Just the term "have mercy on me" means what? Give me something that I don't deserve. Treat me in a way that I don't deserve. And I think, how many people come to Jesus that way? So many times we come to Jesus with a what? Expectant attitude. We expect him to what? Serve us. We expect him to do for us. But that's not Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus comes pleading, begging, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now, not only then we see his cry, but even more so his courage. Because the minute he cries out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me," what happens? Shut up, blind guy. That's right. Hey, quit causing a rabble. Quit causing a problem. He doesn't have time for you, right? So we've got this, the warning that comes from the crowd for him to shut up. But what's his response? Even louder. And so I think of the courage, I think of the boldness that this guy has. So you're out in the mall, you're on a street corner, you're someplace and you're witnessing for Jesus, and people tell you to what? Shut up. Quit calling on his name. Quit talking about him. And you do what? Do you? Or do you shut up? Or do you not even get to the point where you're talking about Jesus out loud in a crowd because you're afraid of what other people may think of you? I mean, the fact that Jesus was Messiah was a very what? Controversial issue. The Pharisees, the scribes, were doing what? They're shutting people up. And we know from John chapter 9 about the blind guy there that people were being put out of the synagogue. You were not allowed to go to synagogue. You were not allowed to fellowship. And so you got to understand, For a Jewish person to not be allowed to go to the synagogue or not allowed to go to the temple was like a Roman Catholic person being excommunicated from the church. This is a huge deal. Okay? And so they're telling him, "Be quiet, be quiet." And basically he takes a stand. I think this is phenomenal. And I wonder, is he already saved? I mean, what's salvation? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, right? Okay, what? Now, we know that God has raised him from the dead, but think in Bartimaeus' time, what would salvation have looked like? What would you have encapsulated that time at that moment? What did you have to believe? That Jesus was the Son of God. That Jesus was Messiah. That's it. You had to accept the plan of God. And what was it during that time? That Jesus was Messiah. That he was the one whom God sent. Jesus said, unless you believe I am, you will die in your sins. Bartimaeus very clearly what? He believed that he was. That's exactly right. And so Romans 10 says, if you believe in your heart, what's going to happen? You will confess with your mouth. See, everybody wants to look at that as a sinner's prayer. That's not a sinner's prayer. It's just an actuality that's going to happen in your life. If you believe something in your heart, if it's really firmly down in you, you can't help but proclaim it. And Bartimaeus, he's got it. I wonder how long he had it. He may have believed this for months. It may have been a year. He's heard all the testimony, and he's made a decision. He believes that Jesus is the guy. He is the prophet. He is the Messiah who was to come. And this is the moment he has to what? To declare it. Who's going to listen to the blind guy beforehand? Nobody. He doesn't have a platform. He has no soapbox to talk on. But now all of a sudden he does. Jesus is coming past. And he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up, you blind guy. Jesus, Son of David! He takes a stand. His courage is phenomenal. His response. And I'm rebuked by that. And I wonder how, think about it. Could he defend himself? What if they start beating on him? Yeah, he may not even have a stick to wound around. He has nothing. And they're telling him to shut up, and they're probably pushing on him and pushing him back and all this kind of, and he's just screaming louder. He just knows that the procession's coming. It's getting closer and closer, and his moment of meeting the Lord is right now. And he's just screaming out to above the din of the crowd, Jesus, Son of David. It's kind of like the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. And the crowd is just pressing, and she's just saying, she's a little woman. She's not screaming and, Jesus, look at me type thing. She's what? She's wheeling herself through the crowds just so she can touch his garment. Bartimaeus is just screaming out as loud as he can, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so, just from the prayer side, I wonder sometimes how committed am I to getting into God's presence? Do I really want to be there? And Bartimaeus did. He wanted to be there. And so what do we see? Finally, his call. Jesus hears him. Jesus hears him. This is so exciting to me. Everybody's pushing him down. It's like the disciples with the kids. Get the kids out of here, man. The guy's busy. What are you wasting his time for? They're pushing on Bartimaeus, quit bugging them. Stop it. I wonder sometimes whether they're worried about a rabble. Because again, if the Romans assumed that there was a riot going on, what would they do? They send in the stormtroopers and they squelch the riot, okay? So Jesus hears them and they turn around to him. In verse 49 we read, then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He is calling you. Rise. He is calling you. Christ's call to come. Are you blind? Some of you today, I don't know, hopefully not, but you could be spiritually blind. You don't know who Jesus is. But Christ's call is for you to come. You cry out, I'm blind, I need to see. And Jesus will say, what? Come to me. In fact, elsewhere we read that Jesus says, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus specializes in giving sight to the blind people. But before it happens, you got to realize what? You're blind. It's one thing about being physically blind. There's no doubt in your mind, right? I mean, it's kind of kind of hard to live in denial. No, I can really see, you know, no, I guess I can't, you know. And that's one of the things that Ron would tell me about when they were working with people on repairing, that they've got to come to the realization that they are blind. They're going to live the rest of their life blind. And they have to accept the fact that they are blind before something can be done. Well, the same thing's true, spiritually speaking. In order to cry out to Jesus, to receive your sight spiritually, you got to realize that you're what? That you're blind. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was blind. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You've got to realize that you're lost. You've got to realize you're blind. You've got to realize you're a wretch. And then you call out to Jesus, and Jesus will say what? Come. Come. And so they turn to Bartimaeus, and they say, be of good cheer. Be happy. I think of the song what? Yeah, don't worry. Be happy. You know, that is kind of what's happening there. You know, they turn to say, be happy. Jesus is calling you. And what's his response? Small little thing. What's the first thing that happens? No, well, he threw off his coat. That guy is so, I mean, he's leaping up. He says he gets up, but I mean, I see the guy just erupting, you know? And the coat, he doesn't take the coat off slowly and set it to the side nicely because he's going to come back to it. I see he just gets up and his outer garment just flies off of him, you know? He puts it aside. It says that he's throwing aside his garment. I mean, it's just flailing aside. He's getting up because he's going to Jesus. He's blind. He can't see. All he hears is what? The voice. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And he was probably honing in on that voice. Jesus saying above the din to Bartimaeus, come. Come to me. Come to me. And everybody else is talking, but I could just imagine Bartimaeus, that little sonar. Boop, 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 boop. He heard the master's voice. I'm here. Just follow my voice. I'm over here. And he just throws it off. Well, again, spiritually speaking, when you come to Jesus and you realize that you're blind, that you're wretched, that you need, you're lost, right? And you cry out, God save this wicked soul. And he says what? Come here. Come to me. One of the first things you've got to be able to do, willing to do, is what? Throw off. Throw it off. Throw off that garments of unrighteousness that you have. Your righteousness is like what? It's a filthy rag. Why do you want to take to Jesus your filth? The answer is clearly what? You don't. You're not going to take your filth to him. And so Bartimaeus, we're in Mark chapter 10, the end of Mark chapter 10. So Bartimaeus, the minute he hears Jesus say, come, he erupts. He gets up and he throws off his garment and he comes to the Lord. This is, to me, so exciting. He's so pumped. He's so excited for this moment. And he throws off that which, if you would, then hinders him. And he goes to the Lord. Well, that leads us then to the very end. It says Bartimaeus, his restoration. It was at the request of Bartimaeus, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Simply, he says what? I just want to see. I just want to see. Now, we've been talking about salvation, but I just want to encourage you that Jesus, I think through Peter, right? Peter is the apostle, the prophet. We're told at the very end of Peter's writings, Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you grow in knowledge? Or not knowledge, I'm sorry. How do you grow in grace? How much grace was there when you got saved? All of it. So how do you grow in grace? I mean, grow in grace. How do you do that? Like a plant grows in soil. Okay. But what does it mean? I mean, if you've got all the grace that you can, how do you grow more into it? Keep going with your analogy. Okay. But what do I have to understand in order to understand more about grace? Okay, I got to understand the Lord, what he wants. Not faithfulness, that's my works. But in order to understand his grace more and more, I got to understand my sinfulness. The more I understand my own abhorrence and decadence, the more I understand his holiness, the more I'll understand his grace. That's the only way to grow in it. I've got to be able to admit that there's more dross in my life to be heated up and brought to the surface to be scooped off. And if I think that after I got saved, that I'm what? I'm good now. I probably didn't make the transaction like I thought I did. The reality is that I need to press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 says that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine that they may be conformed to his image. God's purpose for me is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And Christ is the image of God, the Holy God. He was perfect in all ways. He was tempted in all ways as well. Yet he was what? Without sin. And so, I've got to realize that even after salvation, like Bartimaeus, I am what? Probably still blind to certain aspects of my sinfulness. There are probably areas of my life that are displeasing to God. Unholiness, unrighteousness, wickedness, abhorrence, stenches in the nostrils of God. We don't like to call them that, but they are. And even after he saves me and redeems me and positionally sets me apart unto eternal salvation, the reality is he still wants to what? Clean me. Any of you ever see the sign that was downtown? It was on the Central Church of Christ thing for years. It says, you catch him, he'll clean him. You catch him, he'll clean him. I love it. It's not my job to make you pure. You know, sometimes you meet people and you want them to become righteous looking. You want them to become less abhorrent to you. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to lead them to Jesus Christ. And then let Jesus Christ, what? Clean the fish. That's exactly right. He can do a whole better job of cleaning them than you can or I can. And so I realize, now I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be sinful. But I realize, and some people don't like this, especially as a pastor, but I realize that somewhere in theology, I'm probably wrong. Now, am I wrong intentionally? No. But if I think that I am perfect in everything that I believe, in all my practice, I'm only deceiving myself. Because you guys probably see a whole lot of stuff in the museum. Yeah, Bob, can we pass around the paper and start? No, you can't do that. Make it on yourself. And make your own list. Check it twice. Anyways, and so the question I'm going to ask in a moment again, are you willing to go to God? Like Bartimaeus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I am blind. I don't know, though, the area in which I'm blind. But I want to see. I want to see like you want me to see. I want my eyes to be open. Open my eyes that I may see. It's part of Psalm 119, isn't it? Open thou my eyes and I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see the sinfulness that you see in me. That I would be willing to cast that garment aside, to become more and more like you. Do you really want it? Bartimaeus wanted it. And he was willing to put up with the rejection of the crowd, the repugnance of people, the rebuke of his fellow man, because nothing mattered more than him expressing his belief in the one true God and be coming near him, that he might receive his sight. Now, what do we see after Jesus leaves? What's the last thing we read about Bartimaeus? He follows him. He got his eyesight, said, hot diggity, I can live my life now. I can go do what I want to do. He gave me my sight. I can just go and I can live my life. And man, I've always wanted to do this and I've always wanted to do that. I always wanted to see this. I always wanted to see that. And now I got my sight. I can go see. I can do and I can do. He didn't. Jesus opened up his eyes and he said, I want to follow the Master. That's all I want to do. I pray it's your heart. All I want to do is follow the Master. Now, you may have to do some other kind of work and whatever, okay? But as a whole, I want to follow the Master. There's one thing about Bartimaeus being poor. He had no encumbrances. When Jesus opened up his eyes, he could what? Just follow him. He could just follow him. What if Jesus called you to go to a foreign land? I mean, foreign land could be Pennsylvania, right? Anyways, I was waiting for one of you Southerners to say that. Anyways, but if he wanted you to go someplace, but you what? You couldn't because you had too many encumbrances. Do you see the picture? Bartimaeus, to me, is a phenomenal illustration of what our life is like. But go back to the initial thing that I talked about with Bartimaeus, that he was a phenomenal picture of someone who what? Was downtrodden, had reversals, if you would. Things happened to his life. But now Jesus has come into his life, and he's what? Through his mercy, through his grace, has removed those things, those barriers. And the question is, what is Bartimaeus going to do? Is he going to revert back to his original life, whatever that was? We're not told what it was. Or is he going to follow the Lord? Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you need to what? You need to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Bartimaeus lives that life. He illustrates it. So, in the end, who do you turn to when you're in need? Do you cry out to Jesus? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me? Or do you turn on Oprah? Dr. Oz? Dr. Laura? Whatever, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's amazing to me how many people want to quote all these secular psychologists and counselors who have no wisdom at all. How dedicated are you to seeing your prayer request answered? How easily silenced are you by the crowds? What about crying out for Jesus? It's supposed to be crying out for Jesus. What level of rebuke are you willing to sustain in your allegiance to Christ? And finally, the challenge, the thing I would ask you to do is to ask Jesus to take away your blindness in an area that you may not even be aware that you're blinded. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to ask Jesus, Lord, show me an area that I still am blind, and I'm purposely blinding myself. And would you help me to see, and then would you help me to throw off the cloaks and become more like you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you desire for us to be more like you. Being blinded, that you desire for us to see. We being wicked and wretched, you desire for us to be cleansed, to be made whole, to be made into fellowship with you. We're powerless, Lord. We can't heal ourselves. And we know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That you, God, have manifested yourself in three entities, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three and yet one. And we praise you and glorify you. Lord, help us to hunger and thirst, to be conformed to your image for your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.